Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I hope you'll get your Bibles and study along with us. We've been studying about the great men and women of the Old Testament, and we've been looking at the life of Samuel. Now, this particular lesson has focused on Samuel's resignation. You see, here's what happened. The children of Israel were governed by judges that were appointed by God. Now that was God's plan for them. Eventually he had planned for them to have a king, but not at this time. But the children of Israel were looking around at all the nations round about them, and I guess they didn't want to take responsibility for themselves as they should, and so they were asking for a king to take responsibility for them. And they wanted to do that so they could be like the nations round about them. And our teacher, E.A. Elam, has written a special essay for this Sunday school lesson called Asking for a King. And he says all should study this. And we're going to be reading that essay in just a moment. You see, the problem here is, that's what happens to us so many times. We have God's plan in the Bible. But we look at everyone around us and we see what they are doing and we think, I want to be like them. And we mold ourselves after those who are around us instead of after the things that God has taught us in His Scriptures. We see this with individuals, and we also see this with churches. Churches seeing these elaborate denominational structures with all kinds of special programs and hierarchies, and they find ways to have churches associated with one another with a very hierarchy over them. And instead of having elders in every church, well, they may have some kind of pastor in their church, and then maybe a bishop over those pastors, and then an archbishop over those bishops, and up the line the hierarchy goes. Why would congregations want to do something like that? Well, they're not taking responsibility for themselves. They're looking for others to provide them leadership. And they look around and they see what the other churches are doing, and they pattern themselves after the wisdom of man instead of the wisdom of God. And that is what this particular essay that E.A. Elam was writing about for the Sunday School of May 6th, 1923. Now, before I read that essay, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, let's get into this essay that was prepared for this particular Sunday school lesson. And it goes like this. Not a more important lesson can be learned than the one which must be learned from Israel's asking for a king. Anointing Saul king is important, but the reasons for asking for a king are the fundamental principles of the rejection of God and should be studied most seriously. These are given in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And if you have your Bible now, you might want to turn and look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They held a council or a convention to determine what in their wisdom was best to be done. Plublot's selected notes said this was the National Congress or Parliament. May we not call it the National Convention representing the Brotherhood? These elders did not represent the people. They are put for the people. in verses 7, 10, 19, and 20. But they may have represented the people, but they did not represent God and His will. An old, gray-haired man was the only one in that conference or convention of leading and representative men who pleaded the cause of God. If God's people are to be governed by human brains and the majority rule, old Samuel was in great opposition to God, for he was distressingly in the minority. God's order or way must be maintained, regardless of the majorities of representative men and of human wisdom. I would rather be Samuel, old and alone, on God's side, than to be the greatest, most popular man of the great majority of leading men of the nation against God. Majorities and human wisdom are not signs of right and loyalty to God. We read in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Many go down the broad way, while few travel the narrow way. Where is the wise?" Paul asked. "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. But the people composing this conference or convention of representative men were of one mind. They had discussed this grave question of changing the form of government, and decided in mature deliberation, and had passed a unanimous resolution to have a king. They came in a body to Samuel. They gave three reasons for their making this request. One, behold, thou art old. Two, thy sons walk not in thy ways. And three, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations, 1 Samuel 8 and verse 5. To judge us means not only to settle disputes. In this context, it means to rule over us and to fight our battles. A king would organize and centralize them as a nation, have given them a permanent, systematic, and successful government. So they supposed, with a king, a court, and a standing army, they would be ready at any time to put forth a successful, organized effort against the foe. And when ye saw that Nahash, king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us. When Jehovah was your king, 1 Samuel 12 and verse 12, to have a king would also give them prestige among other nations and make them respectable. So they supposed. They did not want a king because it was God's will for them to have one, but to be like all the nations. God had foretold that they would ask for a king, and He had said that they should set over themselves the one only whom He should choose. Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 17. But this did not justify their desire and request for one of their rejection of God as king. Let me read that to you in Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 through 15. Here Moses told them, "When thou art come into the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are round about me. But thou shalt surely set him king over thee, whom Jehovah thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not put a foreigner over thee who is not thy brother. Only he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as Jehovah hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold." The reasons these elders offered for wanting a king were only pretext. First, Samuel was old. Well, maybe so, but he was still mentally and physically vigorous and strong and lived nearly 40 years after this. Second, his sons walked not in his ways. They could have been rejected, as were Eli's sons and better men appointed. But third, they wanted a king to judge them like all the nations. But God had said they should be unlike the nations, a peculiar people, and he would be their king. They should have remembered the wonderful deliverance God had given them from Egypt and the great victories he had given them over Sihon the giant, Og, king of the Amorites, from the valley of the Arnon unto Mount Hermon. Og ruled over 60 cities, according to Joshua 13:30. They should have remembered how God had turned Balaam's curses into blessings and had given them the victory over the Moabites and the Midianites. They should have remembered how through Joshua God conquered the nations in the land of Canaan and had given them the land by lot, and how through such judges as Barak, Deborah, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, and Samuel, he had always delivered them from their enemies. There were no people like them, and none could stand before them. So long as they put their trust in God, one could chase 1,000, and 2 could put 10,000 to flight. In this request for a king while Samuel was judged, Samuel was hurt. Samuel was a just and a good man. He knew the complaint against his sons was true, and at this he took no offense. But the thing which displeased Samuel, when they said, "Give us a king to judge us," he felt this was a rejection of himself as a judge. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and in verse 6, Samuel prayed unto Jehovah. He laid the matter before God and sought his guidance. Samuel was troubled when the people did wrong, and he prayed over it. God answered Samuel and explained that this was a rejection of himself and not Samuel, that God should not be king over them. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7. This was a fearful sin. You see, according to 1 Samuel 12:12, God was their king. The government under which the judges ruled was God's order. He gave them judges until Samuel the prophet, and after that gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they asked for a king, Acts 13:20 and 21, to reject God's commandment, Luke 7:29 and 30, or his system of government is to reject him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 7, verses 29 and 30, "And all the people, when they heard the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of God, of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him." How is God rejected today? Well, he's rejected the same way. People turn from God to their own judgment and their own wisdom, and they would rather fit in and do what others are doing than to do what God says. God now has a spiritual kingdom over which Christ is king. It is his church over which Christ is the head. This church he has set in order. It has elders and deacons and other members, according to Philippians 1:1. Each congregation has a plurality of elders and deacons. These elders are called overseers or bishops and shepherds or pastors, and their qualifications and duties are clearly identified. He did not centralize or combine the different congregations or churches of Christ, Romans 16:16, as the one in Jerusalem, Samaria, Antioch, Ephesus, and Corinth, and the one human organization, ecclesiasticism. This is denominationalism.